CJLO 1690 AM, there is some Lemoon Tunes for you right here on the station that could, the station that can, and the station that will. We have a funding drive coming up soon, so I'm getting you ready for when I come on here and talk about how great we are. Although, let's be fair, you already know that. Before that, you heard an interview with Lemoon Tunes, part one of an interview. If you miss any part of this, or if you want to hear the interview with Gaspar again, you can go to the CJLO website at a point this week. I would love to tell you that I will be very diligent and get this up on Monday or Tuesday, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know if I'll be able to do it, because I got a bunch of stuff I got to get done this week. But you don't care about any of that. The point is, just go to CJLO's website. Not only can you learn about this show, but you can also catch up on all of your other favorite CJLO shows. There. That covered it. Very good. Excellent. I don't want to say that that was the best that's ever been announced here, but, you know, if you say that, I won't argue with you. But if we're going back to the interview, if we're looking at that, you got to hear about, you know, the reception for the album, the, you know, the introduction of the band. But now let's get into the recording of the record and their switch in sound that they've done. Well, not switch, their amplification of the heaviness. There we go. That seems right. And, you know, just generally what it's like for them kind of back home. Yeah. And that'll include things like, you know, their awards that they've won. They're an award-winning band, I'm just saying. So you should probably go see them at Turbo House on the 5th. I'm just throwing it out there. And also they get to chat about, you know, being an Acadian band, which is not something that I usually get to talk about on this show. So I was very interested to kind of delve into that with them. So here, enjoy this. It's kind of long, this part, but I couldn't find a good place to break it up that wasn't like then a 3-minute part and like then another 5-minute part or something. So I crammed it all together. So I hope you enjoy this. Enjoy part two of the interview with Lemoon Tunes, and then I'll play something off of their Elephant Wizard record, which I was told I have to say that way by the band now. So, you know, that's required. And it's not just me doing it once and then having to do it over and over again. Now it's approved by the band, so I have no choice. I really actually have no choice but to say it that way. So enjoy this second part of the interview, and then we'll listen to another track from the record. Keep it locked, CJLO, 1690 AM.
Well, I read that the concept for this record, or kind of the beginnings of it, came from a residency that you guys did in Sussex, New Brunswick, yeah. Right?
My parents live there, so okay. We just hung out at their house.
So is that what a residency
yeah.
is?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. Okay. Air quotes.
You have to make it sound professional.
Okay, Okay, so this residency.
Yeah.
But what I've heard a lot of bands talk about, kind of the, especially from larger places, they'll say something like, you know, the city is our X member, or whatever it would be. You mm-hmm. know, like it inspires, or it's the backdrop kind of implicitly to what's going on. Mm-hmm. Is that the case? Is that
Sussex, New Brunswick?
Is that the backdrop?
It's a small place, but it's a cute place though. Like we found beauty in that place. We went swimming. There's a little like a river that runs around, and it created these like these water like holes. Mm-hmm. You know, like through time it would just get eaten up by the waterfalls and make these like little pools that we would spend time in. And while writing the album, that was a huge part of it. We went to the one, I think there's only one brewery in Sussex. We went there. There's like one tattoo shop. We went there, you know.
we also found like when we were writing the storyline for Elephant Wizard that all the songs are based off, we found our arch nemesis, or the evil character of the story, based off of can I say this?
You can say,
without saying the name.
Well,
a certain neighbor that may have called us to complain about the noise,
the sound levels. Okay.
Who made some pretty intense threats on the phone, ended up based our like villain of the story off of him. Yeah. So.
Yeah, he basically, he was angry because we were rehearsing that one song, Gallop in the Jungle, which is our loudest song. And he called me and he was just kind of like, you guys need to stop at 7. And it was just like,
7 p.m.
Yeah. And it's like, just trying to reason with him, like, look, we'll stop at 9. He's like, no, 7. And anyway, he said that he was going to come up here and bring his chainsaw with him. So I'm like, whoa, okay. What do you want to do with the chainsaw? Like, he's just like, oh, make noise. I'm like, okay. Then it was resolved as like non-threatening, but just kind of angry. So he became a huge part of our album in that way. you can hear the sound of chainsaws throughout the album, and that's kind of inspired by that.
Is that true? There's chainsaws on the record just for that?
Well, yeah, the opening, like, I mean, it's so distorted.
It's like emulation.
It's okay. Emulation. Okay. Yeah, not
made with our
guitars.
That's a pretty badass
additional instrumentation.
We'll need more guitar mimicking a chainsaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is maybe cooler. I don't know.
We had a guitar, no chainsaw, so.
Argument to be made either way.
Yeah.
You guys went heavier for this record.
Yeah.
Is that also like, that's something that you made consciously after the last record, or did that come also with the planning of this whole of the whole concept and record writing?
Feels like it kind of happened naturally. Mm. Like, we all love that kind of like stoner doom metal, and we added a second drummer to the band who's a huge metalhead too. Yeah. So we like leaned into that, and we still like love the soul side and all the other psychedelic stuff, but it's like we decided to just lean on a heavier sound for this album, I think.
Yeah, so Goldfish on drums, like he's great at creating drum parts that are metal too. So we leaned into that, and also Sam Frenette plays guitar. So he used to play bass a lot for the first album, and we're just seeing him, flap his wings playing true metal guitar like we know he can.
Yeah, he's a guitarist music. Who we forced to play bass in the first album, and now we're letting him play guitar, and he's just like
loving it.
Yeah, it's been building up in him, and you can hear it in his solos. So.
He's happier.
You guys, I just want to play guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's bass for you.
Yeah, yeah.
When will you learn? I'm interested. You've won some awards too from Music New Brunswick, the Breakthrough Artist of the Year and Video of the Year. Do those accolades matter to you guys? Because I've had it on both spectrums, where some bands will say like the more local it is, the more they respect the award. Whereas others who are like, oh, local awards, pff, who cares about them? It's only like, national and further than that. What's your guys' opinion?
I mean, it's like obviously great. It's an honor to receive an award like that, to get recognition. Mm. It's a bit of a like, it kind of sucks that the industry sometimes like requires you to have these accolades to have legitimacy, like it's kind of like making music into a competition sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that it kind of sucks that that's part of the industry, but like nonetheless, like receiving something like that is always like, for us, we're super happy, and it's an honor.
Yeah, those are like, we don't have a lot of awards, so we're really happy with any awards that we have. So they all help us down the line. Maybe we want to make a project and we need funding, and just dropping that line might help us make the project or not. So it gives trust to the reviewers.
I like how you're leaving the door open for in the future, once we have enough awards, then we can be like, these awards can mean much less to us now. But for now,
we'll be cool one day. Yeah. We'll be cool like that.
I'm interested reading that you guys think of yourselves as an Acadian band. Now, obviously, that there's good reasons for that. Mm-hmm. But I'm more of the idea that when you think of, or I could think when, I guess when most people think of an Acadian band, they are not thinking of what you sound like.
Mm-hmm.
Have you gotten any pushback from anyone saying like, well, that's not Acadian. You can't have that be part of what's going on here.
Yeah, it's been a bit of an identity conversation for us the whole time, because it's like we're all Acadian. We all grew up in Moncton, New Brunswick, Dieppe, New Brunswick actually, which is like right next to Moncton. And so it's Acadian music, we're Acadians, but it's not like the traditional zigazanzon music. So yeah, we've had like some pushback from like trying to play, like getting recognition from the Acadian scene, I guess, sometimes. But I think there's a lot of bands coming out now that are Acadian that don't sound like the traditional Acadian music, and that's really cool to see that evolution. And I mean, we're maybe starting to get some recognition because we're gonna play at the Acadian Festival this summer.
Yeah, there's like I haven't heard anyone say that up front or whatever, but like our music, like Jared said, does not sound like trad or anything like that, and we don't even speak a word of French in our current album, so we're really far removed from a lot of like the musical traditions. But some people have said that they like to see that they like to see that coming from that place, you can just do anything that doesn't have to cater to maybe a certain thing that works or in any way. So it's like we're free that way, and people have been really great to us.
Yeah, and that's why we have Le in our band name, to just remind people that we're French. You know, yeah. French is our first language. We grew up, that's the main language that we all speak with each other. So, you know, it's just a little reminder. It's Le Motunes.
Yeah.
Is there a reason that you didn't put any French on the album?
It's mainly just because, like, Miguel, who sings and, like, writes the lyrics. Mm. I mean, this album, we kind of collaborated on the lyrics, but he's, like, the main lyrics writer. He just feels more comfortable writing in English. Like, okay. He listens Fair to enough. A lot of music in English, and that's just what comes naturally to him. So it's, like, we've had that conversation of, like, oh, if we sang in French, we'd get much more gigs because da-da-da. But it's, like, you don't want to force yourself to do something that doesn't feel natural. Mm. So we sing in English, but you know, we speak in French in between songs during the banter. So
I think there's usually a number that bands reach where they go out of band to collective. Have you guys reached that with Seven, or are you
no, we're still called, we call ourselves a band. Yeah.
Yeah,
I don't think we've ever
band. Yeah. I think it'll be band if we add a third drummer, it'll still be band.
Yeah, we played with an extra guitarist for our album launch in Moncton because he was the Elephant Wizard. We got him like in a costume wizard. His name's Johan. He's really cool.
He's
from
cool.
Moncton. And so we were eight.
Yeah.
And we were thinking of adding him as a permanent member of the band. You know, it's like
we're just keeping him on a leash, like not too far, being nice to him once in a while.
It sounds like this would be impossible to try and do any kind of practices for. Is that another reason why you guys kind of came up with it on the fly and did a lot of recordings there, just because scheduling is hard? Because I tried to get three people together this past week to do a dinner, and it didn't happen because it's impossible.
I mean, that definitely helped for scheduling. Yeah, like recording and writing things one instrument at a time. And yeah, it's definitely hard to book rehearsals and stuff. But
it's nice to kind of like just sit down and like together we'll isolate a few weeks to make sure that we dedicate it to this project. So going into the writing process, it was a lot of that where we like set aside like a month to work on it. And leading up to shows, we'll kind of isolate maybe 1 or 2 days before so we can get some rehearsals in.
Yeah, booking, scheduling is important, because especially now, because we're two of us, Marty and I are in Montreal. There's Miguel and Mun that are in Nova Scotia, and the rest are still in Moncton. So we're pretty spread out, but we're all like really trying to make it work anyways, because we really believe in the project. We really love the music, and we've been friends for, it's getting a little cheesy here, but we've been friends for a long time.
We've been friends since high school.
Yeah, it's true.
It's true.
But so I mean, we're making it work.
Hey, this is Martin from Les Moontoons. You're listening to CJLO.
That's correct. You are listening to CJLO. Thank you, Martin from Les Moontoons. Oh, wait. You just heard some Les Moontoons before that. How... almost like I planned this whole thing. This whole thing. That was Planet Metal off of the album Elephant Wizard. I'm required by the band to say that. Asterix. I have to say it that way. And before that, you heard part of an interview that I did with two members of the band. I mean, which, as I pointed out at the top, doesn't even represent half of the band. If I were to do a, if I were to ask them what the band thinks about something, and I were to just pull the two of them, it wouldn't even be 20% of the band. Would it be 20% of the band? 2 out of 7? My math is not good. I'm going to pretend that it won't be 20% of the band. I don't think it is, actually, as I think about it, because 20% would be 2 out of 5. So it's much less than that. So, you know, my math is not terrible. It's just not good. But I know what you might be saying right now. I don't care about any of this. Please just play the rest of the interview so that I can imagine what I will be seeing at Turbo House on the 5th, which is where you're going to go. I don't know if you know this, but by listening to the show, you've agreed to go to both the Gaspar show and Les Moontoons on the 4th and 5th. I probably should have started the show with that. That by listening, you agree to do that. But, you know, we're already this far in and you've already decided you're going anyway. So it's there's really no point in me of, you know, having to have done that. That's just where we're at. That's just required. But not it's required. But since you're going to go anyway, it doesn't really even matter that it's required. Really, that's just how that goes. Let's go back into this interview, shall we? With Les Moontoons. We're going to talk about playing Jazz Fest and their future plans coming up here. So keep it locked. CJLO, 1690 AM. This is Great A Explosives. Big thanks for Les Moontoons for coming here into the station to do an interview with me. And let's keep trucking on with this. Enjoy this.
Well, you're here. You're going to be playing Jazz Fest, and then you're playing FEQ on...
the next day.
Next day. Okay. How did you get onto Jazz Fest? Because Jazz Fest is historically not exactly known for bringing anything that's heavy, unless it's Voivod playing with a symphony. And that only happened once. So, like, you guys are a pretty big anomaly. How did this come about?
Well, we played ECMA's, I think it was like 2 years ago, not this one, the past one. And we got so lucky. We played before Les Hôtes de la, which is like a mentor band that we look up to. And anyway, it was really cool, a great night. There was a lot of people in the room, and we played, I think it was like 200 people. And of those 200 people, the person booking FAQ was there, loved the show and wanted to book us. And at that same place, we met Mathieu from Bon Sound. And Bon Sound had interest in us as well. So we worked with Yael, who's our booker. So from then on, just Yael just pushed us everywhere. And like, we're super thankful because he's doing a great job that we couldn't imagine. We couldn't be playing at Jazz Fest without him for sure.
It's so bizarre to hear. Because we were talking earlier before we got into this interview about how people think that the music industry is still like the like 80s and 90s. But playing a show and have a booker there that then goes, hey, we want to book you for the next show, is very 80s, 90s.
Yeah.
That apparently I put a 50s, 40s star
into.
That's kind of cool, actually. I didn't think that still actually happened anymore. So congrats to you guys.
Yeah. Thanks. I think it was right place, right time, like for having the guys from Ball Sound like hear us. And so now it's like with it's completely different. We did like last summer a 2-week tour that we booked all by ourselves, and Sam, our guitarist, we forced to play the bass, but
we also forced him to book our tour.
And he worked on it for 6 months to book this 2-week tour. And it's a lot of work. Yeah. So it's like really great to have someone helping us now. So.
And you mentioned like metal is not really invited to the Jazz Fest very often. And I think because we squeak by because we have like sax and trumpet.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, it's jazz.
Hey, and they've got instruments in there. I mean, jazz life.
Four out of 7 of us are in jazz school right now.
Yeah.
So
that helps too. Yeah.
Well, that's the easiest way to lead then at that point. Be like, look, you guys, you might listen to us, but we're in jazz school. It's fine. Yeah.
The future of jazz is metal.
Let's get to the most important question that we'll have here. Now, obviously, you two are here in Montreal from New Brunswick. Band is Acadian. You have many members, many instruments. What's the worst musical instrument?
Well, I always hear that it's the triangle, but I don't believe it.
You hear, but you don't
believe. Yeah, just people keep telling me it's the triangle, but I don't believe it. I don't have one.
I don't think it's the triangle either. I think that's an underrated instrument.
I know my sister hates the bagpipes.
That comes up very frequently, bagpipes.
Those are just like classic ones that come up.
They're just like easy punching bag instruments.
That's right.
Bagpipes.
Easy instruments to hit. I don't know. It's not the saxophone either.
What's the worst instrument in our band, maybe?
I mean, it's up to you. You're the artist.
What's the worst musician in the band? Let's talk about it. Let's get it out there.
Well, I honestly think it's... No.
Okay, no. I refuse to answer the question about the instruments.
Fair enough. Fair enough. There we go. There's the question that you don't want to be asked. We'll retroactively put it in here.
Yeah, we just found a question that we don't want now.
Now we've covered all of the questions.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm a nerd. I know this is very shocking probably for you to understand. But I hear you talking about the concept for this record and there's an evil character. Is there like a whole Coheed and Cambria universe that we should expect coming from this? Is that where this is headed? Or
yes.
We're getting comic books and all the likes of it?
Kind of.
Comic books would be sick.
We could do comic books too. Well, we're working on a very special project at the moment that shall remain nameless.
Okay. All right.
But there's a full story. So that is very true. And like it's kind of vague, let's say, like the specifics of it. But there's like a story and some characters and some events that happen. but basically the story is like this elephant wizard. He's got magic tusks. And then there's this ivory poacher that wants...
Plural.
Sorry?
There's multiple.
Right? Oh, there's multiple. Yeah. There's a village, you know. But the mayor, I guess, is the baddest and meanest one of them. And he's got a chainsaw. And he wants to go cut the elephant wizard's ivory. And I guess our character finds a way to run away.
There's a whole love story in there. The elephant falls in love with a cyborg.
Of course, yeah.
Jane.
I mean, I guess you have to get some predictable elements in there too.
That was it's been done before.
Yeah.
And he kind of he's got like this promised land that he hears about this planet Metal, and then he wants to go there because it's apparently a sacred land that was still good for elephants. But then he shows up and it's just elephant carcasses everywhere. It's just miserable.
Yeah.
And then he makes the best with what he got, you know?
There's a lot of lore. It's kind of like, Lord of the Rings. Deep in the sense that there's just so much in the story. It keeps going.
There's
so
like a 1,000-page book and one of the pages is dedicated to like a robe that...
describe the robe that the elephant's wearing.
Trust us.
All right.
It's complicated.
It's complicated.
I'll be on the lookout when the graphic novel comes out to explain it to me so I can understand it. I guess that leads us to the last question. You're playing, as we've established, Jazz Fest, FEQ. You have a couple of other dates. If people want to see you back here in Montreal or the surrounding area, when's the next time that they could see you other than...
Marty's going to pull it up. We're playing Turbo House.
Yeah, Turbo House.
In October.
Nice.
The exact date is...
Drum roll, please.
He's going to look it up on his phone. Please hold.
Please hold. hold music.
October 5th, 2024.
Okay.
We're playing at Turbo House, which is on Saint-Denis, if you don't know.
I mean, if you don't know, I don't know what you're listening to this show for. You gotta know where Turbo House is.
Great spot. We're looking forward to play there. It's gonna be really cool.
Yeah. Well, maybe at that point we can get you guys in here and you can lay down some tunes. You can make a whole nother new version of the album.
Oh yeah, that'd be great.
Lay it down.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
But thank you for stopping by and chatting here.
Yeah. Thanks for having us, Andrew.
Yeah.
There aren't many people that are brave enough. Let's go with brave enough to stop out here, even though that's probably not the adjective to use here. We'll go with
that. Let's go with that for today.
Yeah.
Edit it in post.
Yeah, in post. We'll be fine.